And welcome to the Sportscast, December 14th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe and hit the notification button in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes, and Facebook. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Thursday Night Football. We have had a few good games this past season. Last night was one of them, where the Chargers defeated their division rival, Kansas City Chiefs, in a dramatic win. It kind of had that same feeling as the Miami Dolphins, but not as crazy as that game. And to talk to us about this loss, no other than Jeff Farr. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Santiago. Appreciate it.
So, Jeff, what happened? I mean, Kansas City was comfortable, but San Diego is no walkover.
I think, first of all, the Chiefs' defense has been a problem all year. You know, the defense hasn't played well. And if you look at the game as a whole, instead of just looking at the end of the game, there were a couple plays where the Chiefs' offense actually had a chance to really distance themselves, and they didn't. The drive that comes to mind for me is it was 14-7, and the Chiefs got a kick return back to midfield, or maybe even a little bit past midfield. So they go three and out, and they punt it back. So that drive, to me, changed the momentum a lot, because generally speaking, if you start at the 50 or in the other team's territory, you're going to get some kind of points. Yeah. You at least get a field goal, and the Chiefs got nothing out of it. Now, the Chargers didn't get any points out of that drive because Rivers threw the interception right before the half, but it still took a possession away from the Chiefs because they used a lot of clock. So I thought that was a big deal. And then late in the game, I mean, unfortunately, the Chiefs just can't cover a soul. I mean, they really can't. their pass rush is really good. You know, they had five sacks last night. Chris Jones had a big game. I thought that was the best game Justin Houston has played in a long time. But the reality of it is they're getting pressure constantly with only rushing four, and they still can't cover. You know, Antonio Gates looked like 2013 Antonio Gates in that game last night. And it's not because he has a time machine. It's because the Chiefs just can't cover a soul. And, you know, to give Philip Rivers credit, the one throw that I thought he made that was just spectacular was the big throw down the middle to Travis Benjamin. He beat Kendall Fuller by half a step. It was actually pretty good coverage, and in a big moment, Rivers just put the ball on the money. You know, he made a great play. So I just think it really comes down to the Chargers were more clutch. If you look at, you know, early in the game, the Chiefs had a chance to blow it wide open, and they didn't get it done. And then it became a close game. You get into those last couple possessions. Now, the Chiefs were still up by 14 in the fourth quarter at home. There is absolutely, positively no excuse to lose that game. You're playing at home. You're up by 14. You should win that game 100 times out of 100. So there's no excuse for them. But, you know, the Chargers scored their touchdown. And then the Chiefs got a big penalty on special teams. They got a penalty on offense. And then the offense went three and out and gave the ball right back. So I think the defense is the biggest culprit. But anytime you blow a 14-point fourth quarter lead, it takes a team effort. You know what I mean? Just like it took a team effort for the Chargers to come back, it took a team effort for the Chiefs to fall flat on their face, which, you know, I hate to say this. You know, I'm a Chiefs fan, and I try to be a reasonable fan, even though I'm not always. But what stood out to me is it was a playoff atmosphere.
Oh, it was.
Teams understood that. You know, both teams understood the importance of the game, because even though the Chiefs are still technically in first place now, now they have zero margin for error, assuming the Chargers take care of business the rest of the way. And what happens every time there's a playoff game in Arrowhead Stadium? the Chiefs fall flat on their face. And it is amazing to me. It's almost unexplainable that in big moments, in big games, it's almost to the point where you would say the Chiefs would want to play anywhere but Arrowhead Stadium. As much as a home field advantage it is because of the crowd noise, and even in some cases in years past, the weather helps them, not necessarily this year, but the Kansas City Chiefs cannot win an important game at Arrowhead Stadium. It is almost to the point of actuarially unexplainable. They fall flat on their face every time they play a big game at Arrowhead. And I can't explain it. I mean, I'm past the point of trying to rationalize it. It just, you know, they've lost six straight playoff games at Arrowhead Stadium. And like I said, last night felt like a playoff game. It was a huge, huge matchup. I think it's safe to say it was the biggest matchup of the year in the AFC in terms of playoff implications. And you blow a 14-point fourth quarter lead. I mean, it's astounding.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting situation. The Chiefs are up. They're still in first. They're up a game against the Patriots. Obviously, the Chargers are 11-3. I'm going to look at the standings for the AFC West. I believe Chargers are behind the Chiefs, if you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, they are. I guess the remaining 2-3 games left is going to be critical for the Chiefs.
The Chiefs have a game at Seattle. Wow. And then home for the Raiders. And I'll just say this. The game at Seattle, when I saw this, even though I know the Seahawks aren't what they were. They lost a lot of talent on defense. But Russell Wilson is still great. Seattle still has a great home field advantage. And they're the number one rushing team in the NFL. So let me just say, I absolutely hate that matchup for the Chiefs. So they really have put themselves in a dangerous spot here. Now, the other side of this is the Chargers aren't getting off the hook easy because they have to play home against the Ravens, which the Ravens, I mean, took the Chiefs to overtime, played a really good game. And then the Chargers finish up at Denver, which Denver is never an easy place to play. And their defense usually brings it playing at home. So you don't know what may happen there. But my point with all of this is just that neither team is guaranteed to win their last two games. You know, both teams have some challenges. And I wouldn't say that the Patriots still have no chance to get the one seed, or even the Texans. You know, the Texans have played the easiest schedule of the bunch. But they're still right in it, too, if the Chargers and Chiefs falter.
Yes, the Patriots are playing the Steelers, the Bills, and the Jets. I'm thinking the Bills and Jets at home is a winnable game, winnable games for the Patriots. They got the Steelers, so I guess you're pulling for the Steelers this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, from a fan perspective, I definitely would be. but when you look at that matchup, I mean, there hasn't been a player that has a team's number as much as Tom Brady has had the Steelers' number.
Yeah.
Every time they play, he's just...
That game last year was very dramatic.
It was, and that was the best. I thought, so last year's game was probably the best that the Steelers have ever played the Patriots. I shouldn't say ever. It's the best that they've played them in recent memory.
Right.
You know. But when you look at the matchup now, the Steelers secondary is such a mess, and the Patriots are kind of finding their groove a little bit, although, you know, they did just lose that crazy game in Miami.
You think it's a must-win for the Patriots this weekend?
I wouldn't say it's a must-win. Now, I'm going to contradict myself a little bit here. They could obviously still go on a run, even if they lose on Sunday. But I did see that the Patriots have never won the Super Bowl without having home field advantage.
Wow.
So they're not really a team that's gone on the road and gotten to the Super Bowl. So I think home field advantage is enormously important to the Patriots. But the reality of it is, let's say the Patriots get the 2 seed and the Chiefs or Chargers get the 1 seed. Both the Chiefs and Chargers, unfortunately, are known for being pretty big choke artists. So the Patriots very well could get the 2 seed, but as long as whoever the 1 seed is, you know, doesn't take care of business, they still could end up having home field until the Super Bowl. So I wouldn't write the Patriots off. Even if they lose, I wouldn't write them off. But it's definitely a big game for them. And you know what? It's a huge game for the Steelers.
Yeah. They lost four in a row. I mean, 3 in a row.
Yeah. And the other thing is the Ravens, even though the Ravens lost to the Chiefs last week because the Steelers lost to the Raiders, the Ravens and Steelers both kind of have their future in their hands. And I'll say this. The Steelers' game after New England is at New Orleans. And as long as New Orleans has something to play for, which I believe they do because it's going to come down to them and the Rams for the 1 seed, the Steelers are, I mean, barring a miracle, they're not going to go to New Orleans and win. But if they really have to win this game against the Patriots, because if they don't, they're in real danger of not making the playoffs at all. You know, the Steelers could go from fighting for the 1 seed to not even making the playoffs. So it's going to mean a lot to both teams on different levels.
How do you see the Texans? Do you think they're the dark horse of the AFC?
I don't want to make too much out of one game, but a lot of times there's a team that probably isn't as good as their record because they're, you know, they're playing an easy schedule, and you can't fault a team for beating who they play. So I'm not saying the Texans aren't good. I just don't think – I don't see them making a deep run and going and, you know, ending up in the AFC Championship. They have a lot of good individual players. I will say that. You know, on defense they have J.J. Watt. They have Clowney. They have the Honey Badger. They have Merciless. So they have a lot of good – and really good individual talents. And it's the same thing on offense. Watson's a quality quarterback, and Hopkins is a great receiver. But what I look at is their offensive line is still, it's playing a little bit better, but it's still not good. And I just look at the other teams in the AFC, and the Texans are going to have to score to keep up. And not that Watson can't do that, but if he's getting hit a lot, bad things happen. And they're more than likely at some point going to have to go on the road too. So I don't love the Texans if you're talking about, you know, going to the Super Bowl. Now, if you're saying, is it a good year for them to maybe win a playoff game and then have something to build on with Watson moving forward? Yeah, I think this could be that type of year for them.
Awesome. There is a comment from the comments. He's actually correcting us. He says the Patriots have won on the road without home field advantage against Pittsburgh in January 27th, 2002, which is when they won the first Super Bowl with Belichick and Brady.
Okay. So they did do it one time. Yeah, all right.
But since then, they haven't. So that could be an issue.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's look at the NFC. We got the Saints and the Rams on the top two. The Saints are first seed. The Rams are second. Then you got the wild card. You got the Vikings, Bears, Seahawks, and Cowboys. I don't see the Panthers, Eagles, you know, sneaking in. So, I mean, you think you'll see any changes? Anything like anyone moving up, the Cowboys, or it's pretty much set what you see right now?
Yeah, I think it'll more than likely stay as it is.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because both the Cowboys and the Bears have defenses that could make them problematic. And I don't, you know, I know we talked about this before. Defense travels, but it also doesn't hurt to have home field advantage. When I look at the Bears, if Mitch Trubisky can cut down on the turnovers, they could be a little bit scary. Now, when I watch them play, my only concern is their defense is great, but if you keep turning the ball over, eventually somebody's going to score, you know. So generally when you have a great defense, you also match that with a running game and an efficient offense. And I think that might be the Bears undoing at some point this year. But I like both the Bears and I like Dallas because they both hit the quarterback a lot. And they're both really good up front when, you know, when they're healthy, obviously.
Look at go ahead.
And Dak and Trubisky are kind of the key for both of them.
Yeah.
Because they both can be pretty good when they're good, but they can both really be bad when they're bad.
Really do think that Amari Cooper really blossomed this past weekend when they faced the Eagles. They call it the Texas tip when he grabbed the ball. I mean, we'll see what happens with the Cowboys. I mean, with Amari Cooper, I think that asset, and also using Gallup, and I think Looney is his name, it's actually been working out.
The Cowboys' offense definitely changed for the better when Cooper came along because they needed that number one receiver that could get open. When you have to, you can only scheme guys open so many times. Eventually, you need somebody that can beat man-to-man coverage. And Cooper really changed the dynamic of that offense because before he was there, you know, the only guy you really had to focus on was Zeke Elliott. You know, if you could shut down Zeke Elliott, which, don't get me wrong, is easier said than done, but if you could shut down Zeke Elliott, then you pretty much stop their offense. Well, now with Cooper, he at least gives you that threat. And then, you know how the trickle-down effect works. You know, now everybody else is a little bit better because you have that guy that draws all that attention in the passing game.
Yeah. There was some, not late-breaking news, but it kind of broke a few hours ago. The Chiefs cornerback, Kendall Fuller, is scheduled to undergo surgery on his wrist Friday morning. It was reported by the NFL. How much would this implicate the team?
I'll say this. It depends on how long he's out. Because the one thing I did see is that he actually fractured his wrist early in the game and then played the rest of the game. By the time he made the interception in the end zone, his wrist was already fractured.
Wow.
So I guess I don't, you know, obviously I'm not a doctor. But if they can put a cast on him and get him back for the playoffs, that would be a big deal. With that said, I mean, I hate to be this way, but the defense was just awful with him. I mean, surely it could get worse without him, but you get to a point where you say, I mean, whether he plays or whether he doesn't, the Chiefs are going to have to outscore everybody. And this is what it feels like to me. To me, it feels like the Chiefs are weathering a storm because they're missing both their guards on the offensive line. They're missing Sammy Watkins. They're missing Spencer Ware. So they're off, and I mean, they're missing Kareem Hunt, but he's done. You know, he's not coming back. So my point is the Chiefs knew from day one they were going to have to outscore people and then just make a couple stops where they could. So for the Chiefs, I think in the big picture, getting Watkins and some of the offensive line help back is a bigger deal than Fuller. Now, with that said, I think Fuller is their best corner, which isn't necessarily saying a lot because I don't think the secondary as a whole has been a mess. I mean, the corners haven't been as bad as the safeties, but I think maybe we're saying they've been a little bit better than they really have been just because the safeties are so bad that they get picked on the whole game.
Now that we've seen the Chiefs without Kareem Hunt these past two games, how do you see the running game for the Chiefs so far?
Against the Ravens, I thought Spencer Ware did some good things, and the Ravens have a great defense. So I think it'll be okay. Last night, the Chiefs did go pass heavy, but at the same time, they used the screen game to replace the running game a lot, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that because it still accomplishes the same thing for the most part. Damian Williams did a nice job, Darrell Williams did a nice job in limited touches. So it's just, you know, everybody says next man up, and don't get me wrong, these guys are all NFL players. Running backs do seem to grow on trees to some extent. But at the end of the day, Kareem Hunt was a spectacular running back. You know, he's a Pro Bowl-level player. So they're going to feel – there are going to be times, especially in situational football, where you need a yard or two or the screen pass that should have – you know, he would have taken it for 50 yards and the new guy only takes it for 20. They're going to miss Kareem Hunt. I mean, there's no two ways about it. They miss him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if Damian Williams plays like he did last night, I think they'll be okay because really, there were times where he was the best player on their offense. I mean, that one play came back because of an illegal shift, but the play where he ran over Derwin James, I mean, he came to play last night. He was one of the guys that I thought really played a solid game. So they'll be okay. They'll miss Hunt. But I also think the Chiefs played the Ravens and then played the Chargers on a short week. So those are two of the better defenses that they've played all year. So it's hard to compare what Hunt did and then compare it to what backups are doing against really quality defenses.
Yeah. Way too early to tell. So the Chiefs have only lost, three games. And they were against the Chargers, Patriots, and the Rams. So it hasn't been that bad. I mean, they're losing against, three good teams. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it from an optimistic point of view, that's it. Because they lost by a total of 7 points.
That's not bad.
They've lost three games by a total of 7 points. And I could be a little bit off on this, but I believe I saw that the teams that beat the Chiefs had a combined record of 31-9.
Wow.
So it's not as though – it's one of those – any other year, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But the reason it's a big deal this year is because the two best records in the AFC are in the same division, the Chiefs and Chargers. One of those teams is going to end up 12-4 and be the 5 seed. And that's just how it is.
What difference will Mahomes bring that Alex Smith did not bring when it comes to the playoffs? What do you think he'll bring when the playoffs start?
The problem with Alex Smith was that once you got past the scripted plays, you know, the first 15, or you got past the early parts of the game where Andy Reid had everything planned out for him, the offense tend to go stagnant. With Mahomes, this isn't to say the offense still can't have bad spurts, but it's a lot less likely with Mahomes that you're going to have these big lulls in offense where you just can't get anything done. So that's not to say you can't have a three and out or a bad drive or, you know, whatever, but where he'll make a difference is they'll be able to keep up with anybody scoring-wise if they have to, which, given the way the defense is playing, they're going to have to keep up with everybody. They're going to have to score. So the big difference to me is just that, I mean, last year in that playoff game, they got shut out in the second half. If the Chiefs do lose a playoff game this year, it won't be because they get shut out in a half. The defense might lose them a game, but I don't think there's a defense in the NFL that's going to shut them out.
Now, going back to the Steelers, they did lose against the Raiders. Was that just a bad day for the Steelers and Raiders were playing good, or you think Steelers are on a downward trend?
I would say there's two things there. One is the last couple weeks, the Raiders have not played terrible. So there were parts of this season that the Raiders were just awful, and everybody kind of got that vision in their head of what they are. Recently, you know, I watched the game against the Chiefs and then the game against the Steelers. I think the Raiders have played a little bit better. The other side of it is, I think overall Mike Tomlin's a good coach, but the Steelers constantly overlook lesser opponents. You see it twice a year, every single year with the Steelers. They just don't give an equal effort against teams that they view as lesser than them. And then the other thing I would say is the whole Roethlisberger thing was just dumb. So basically, he was okay to play, but whether it was his doing or the coach's doing, he stayed out. And to me, that's just arrogance. The Steelers thought that they could just keep Dobbs in and still beat the Raiders, and it backfired on them. They ended up losing the game. And that's just, I don't know how else to say it, that's just arrogant to think that if your starting quarterback's healthy enough to play, but you're not going to put him in. That's how you lose games, you know. So I think the Raiders are less of a train wreck than they've been earlier in the year, and I also think the Steelers just overlooked them a bit.
Yeah, it should be quite interesting, obviously, Lee, this game. With the Patriots, it's going to be really they'll put more spotlight into that game. It's both big game, a big game for both teams, Patriots and Steelers, which I call it the game of the week, but it depends who you ask. Anyways, are you ready for some predictions?
Absolutely.
Let's go the Texans at the Jets. And by the way, Kroll has been put into injury reserved, so...
Yeah, I think the Texans will win it. Yeah. And, you know, they had a rough week last week, got upset by the Colts. But the Jets have really looked rough lately. I think the Texans will bounce back. And it'll be a closer game than what I think most people think. But I'd say the Texans will win by a touchdown.
The Texans keep going. The Browns at the Broncos.
This is one of the upsets that I like this week. And... I'm not confident about it, but I like the Browns. And it's just a matter of they have more to play for. I think the Broncos going into last week against the Niners, they still felt they had a chance. And then they lost that game. So I think they'll have a little bit of a letdown this week. And the Browns, you know, the Browns have actually played pretty well since their coaching change. So... I think that, and the Browns' defense is pretty good. The Broncos are missing Emmanuel Sanders.
Huge loss.
You know, I see this as like a 20-17 ugly game that could go either way. But I'll take the Browns.
Cowboys at the Colts.
So this is another one that I like the underdog. I like the Cowboys. And it's just because... When I look at it, the Colts offensive line is much improved, and they've kept Andrew Luck clean. They've used the quick passing game. I think the Cowboys defense is on a different level than anything the Colts have played. Obviously, the Jaguars shut out the Colts a couple weeks ago. So when the Jaguars are motivated to play, they have a great defense. But I think with the Cowboys, they can do some of those similar things. I think they can get enough pressure that T.Y. Hilton won't go bonkers. So I like the Cowboys, and I think it'll be a close game. I think they'll ugly up the game and, you know, try to make it one of those 20-17 games. And I also think this could be a Zeke Elliott game. I think this could be a game that we see Zeke really put together a good performance.
I'm with you. I am going with the Hot Boys. They're on a streak. The momentum is on their side. The Packers at the Bears.
This is another upset that I like. And it's weird to pick the Packers as an upset, but I like it for two reasons. One, last week the Bears just had this like super emotionally charged game where they were just out of their minds to beat the Rams. And it's even if you're motivated and focused, as a human, it's just difficult to maintain that 2 weeks in a row. And I also think that the Packers, even though they like Mike McCarthy, I think they feel some sense of relief that they got a change and a chance to start over. So I think the Packers will play well, and I think they'll want to play spoiler. And I think the Packers are going to pull the upset. I know it's in Chicago, so that's a little
tougher.
You know, Yeah, I'm not saying I'm super confident about this pick, but
which I think Aaron Rodgers has won in Chicago before, so
he has, and I just the whole Mitch Trubisky thing, I just don't trust him to play well on a week-to-week basis. And if you turn the ball over against the Packers, they'll score enough.
The Patriots at the Steelers.
I keep going back and forth on this one because
I don't blame you.
Going into the Patriots, and going into the Patriots at Steelers last year, I thought the Patriots were going to beat them soundly, and Pittsburgh really showed up. You know, really played well. So the Patriots haven't played as well on the road this year. I mean, I look back to that game they lost at the Titans. They just lost at Miami, which I know it was a crazy play, but they still lost. And Pittsburgh, even though Pittsburgh's capable of doing some, you know, pretty boneheaded things with, you know, like the loss to the Raiders, I still think talent-wise they have a lot of quality players. And I think that this is a game where the Steelers' offense will put up a bunch of points. And I think the Patriots will too. But to me, it just feels like one of those games where the last team that has the ball will win. And it's in Pittsburgh, so I just have a slight lean. And Roethlisberger in the clutch is tough. So I just think the Steelers are going to pull it out and win by, you know, probably a field goal.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. I'm definitely will be paying attention to that game. Eagles at the Rams.
I think the wheels are starting to come off for the Eagles here. I think this could be a big – I think this could be one of the – it might be a blowout because the Eagles have been fighting and clawing for the last couple of weeks, but their secondary is decimated. Now you lose your quarterback again. Not that Nick Foles isn't capable, but we've seen with Nick Foles, he's either – you know, if you want to make a video game term, he's either playing on all Madden or he's playing on rookie. You know, he's – really high or really low. So I think the Rams win that one big.
The Rams win at home. The Saints at the Panthers.
I want to say this will be an upset because the Saints don't play as well on the road. But the Panthers are not playing well at all. And I'm just not convinced that Cam Newton's completely right. I think the Saints will win. I do. I mean, I think it'll be close, and I think the Panthers will hang tough for a while. But in the end, the Saints will just have a little bit too much firepower, win by a touchdown.
Yeah, that's – I mean, Saints are number one, which I just realized that because, you know, you would have thought that the Rams would have had that clinch. But, yeah, Saints have been the surprise of this season so far.
Yeah, and it's going to be a battle right down to the last week. Both the Rams and Saints can just score in bunches, you know. And I wouldn't say their defenses are – but their defenses do have great individuals. So when you have great individuals, you make enough plays.
And random question, if you can only have one kitchen appliance, what would it be?
One kitchen appliance, man.
It's tough.
I guess it'd have to be a microwave oven.
Yeah, people say microwave. One guy told me a fridge. He made a lot of sense when he told me that.
I guess I didn't even think. I guess
I know. No one thinks about the fridge.
Well, I take that. Yeah, I take that for granted. I'm thinking of like countertop.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking the stove as well. The first time I thought about it.
Yeah.
But you know, there's certain
I'll
items.
Stick with the-
Yeah, anyways. Well, Jeff, how can people talk to you about the Patriots, their Patriots not going, I mean, going to the Super Bowl without home field advantage?
So the best way to follow along is at JT Fulver on Twitter. That's usually where I do most of my football talk.
There you go. Can anyone name me one team or a couple of teams that can beat the Patriots in the playoffs?
Well, the Chargers could. The Chargers have the firepower. And they have enough playmakers on defense. I think the Chiefs could, potentially. And, yeah, those are the two. I think it's the Chiefs or Chargers to beat the Patriots. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to beat them in a playoff game. I don't think the Texans So I think I have to be one of those two.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very right. I think the Chargers definitely have a good shot. The Pittsburgh looks pretty down. So we'll see what happens. Guys, subscribe on YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. Jeff, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me.